will probably be a pretty short little segment here. I don't have too much to talk about right now, not too much to report. It's just past 1:30 p.m. It's Saturday, June 3rd, 2023, and I'm on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. I'm in the basement because it's a rainy day. It's cloudy, it's overcast, it's rainy, it's damp. I don't mind so much because we've had a number of very nice sunny days, so I don't mind having kind of an indoor day. I might watch some trashy reality TV, something like that. I wish I could watch Lindsay Lohan's Beach House, but then, you know what? Maybe I will sign up for... I'm, like, kind of debating whether or not to sign up for Paramount Plus, but there's a movie on there that I want to watch and then talk about here on the pod. I want to do a review episode for it. Maybe I'll just sign up for it. I think it's, like, $9.99 a month, and then it's, like, $11.99 a month if you want to add Showtime. But, I mean, it's, like, it's only, like, $2 extra, so it's so cheap to add Showtime, but I don't know if I'm even going to watch Showtime. I'm not, like, I mean, Yellow Jackets is okay. I would do it if Super Pumped was still on there, but it's not. I don't know. Something I need to figure out today. Or I'll watch this different reality show that I'll end up talking about later or tomorrow, so maybe I won't mention it yet. Last night, I was pretty tired. I smoked a little bit, and I was sitting out on the back porch. I'm off from work today, but I worked yesterday, and I was training new people, and I actually was falling asleep sitting out on the back porch. So what I ended up doing was just getting in bed. I put on The Man from Hong Kong, watched the end of it. I mean, I probably had 10, 15 minutes left, like not much. And then I just fell asleep and it was early. Then I was up in the middle of the night for a little while. And then up at a perfectly decent hour this morning, around 9 a.m. So The Man from Hong Kong, yeah, it's a really fun movie. I don't know, I was kind of thinking about it today, about, I'm re-listening to the album Everyone's Crushed by Water From Your Eyes, and it's kind of, it's not miserabilist, but it does, it is just a little bit more kind of like somber, downbeat, I don't know, maybe like borderline depressing. Just a little bit more than I remembered it being. I remembered it being more kind of up and kind of dancey. And it really isn't, I mean, some of it is for sure, but it really isn't as much as I remembered it being. So I don't know, I was just thinking about the whole kind of like miserabilist discussion and how so many things are miserabilist. You see it in cinema, in music. A lot of things are kind of dour and downbeat and depressing now. I don't really know where that comes from. Honestly, I think it comes from Radiohead a little bit in music, but it just, I don't know why things can't be bright and poppy and fun, and if they are, then they're, like, uncool automatically. Maybe it comes from this kind of, like, 90s hipster kind of, like, I don't know, sort of a nihilism about something can't be cool unless it's, like, not fun or something. I don't know. I don't know where it comes from, but The Man from Hong Kong is from a very different time, and it's bright, and it's fun, and it's poppy, and there's action, and it's exciting, and I don't know. I just like that. I wish there was more of that in culture today. So that's that. I'm getting to the end of Blindsight by Peter Watts. I'm at around page 315 now, and there are probably 350 pages in it. I still don't know if it's part of a trilogy or what. It's great. It's a great book. Great piece of not just science fiction, but hard science fiction. I'm loving it. It's getting very kind of, I don't even know the word to use, metaphysical, maybe existential, but I wouldn't describe it that way. Maybe just generally kind of philosophical, but it deals with biology, and it also dealt with Darwinism a little bit in the section that I just read, and I'm sort of moving away from the idea of survival of the fittest and evolution and Darwinism. I'm thinking more and more as time goes by that whole idea is bullshit. That's not to say that it's an uninteresting idea, so it was interesting to hear it discussed in the book, but I'm finding it less and less interesting, I guess, as the years go by. It always seemed, something about it did seem flawed to me, even though I used to kind of believe in it, and now I don't really believe that that's how nature works. I don't really believe in survival of the fittest. Having said that, I know that it is a misunderstood theory and that evolution is a continual process. It's not an arrival at somewhere. But I still kind of think that it's bullshit. Okay, so right now I'm at a Honda dealership getting the car worked on. The service is for shit. I'm standing out in the parking lot. I managed to get on the Wi-Fi. Hopefully that helps. So it's early, it's just past 8 a.m. and it's Monday, June 5th. And hello and welcome to the Idle Special. This is the Idle episode of the Video Nasties podcast. I'll be talking about the first episode of the Idle. I don't know if I even have that much to say about it besides watch it. This is a show that I've been anticipating for months. I think there were some issues, behind-the-scenes issues. I'm not really sure. I thought it was supposed to be an Amy Simetz show, but then I guess Sam Levinson, the Euphoria guy, took over or something. I don't really know what happened, but the show's great. First of all, I want to talk about the look of it. It's beautifully photographed on glorious 35mm film. And you can see, not grain, but you can see some slight imperfections at times, which I loved and reminded me that it was shot on 35. I was like, why does this look so good? And then I remembered that was why. So yeah, so that's the 35. I like the scene. First of all, the two leads are Lily Rose Depp and Abel Tesfaye, also known as The Weeknd. At first I thought, okay, they're both, neither of them are very good actors, which actually proved to not be true by the end of the episode. They were both, I thought, really good and really engaging, and they, I thought they had genuine chemistry as well. So, yeah, I mean, at first I thought, okay, Lily Rose Depp, she's, you know, she's famous, she's beautiful. She's got a nice bod, she's nice to look at, so that's, you know, that's why she's got the lead of a show. The Weeknd has a vibe to him. I would say he's handsome. I would say he has some charisma. I wouldn't say he's gorgeous like Lily Rose Depp, but he's nice to look at, and he's got a vibe. And he's The Weeknd, he's famous. Producer on the show, and they also shot it at his house in LA, like at his like beautiful, really cool designed mansion in Los Angeles. The show is basically about a pop star who meets the owner of a club, and he starts to kind of like maybe slowly take over her life, or just kind of like insert himself into her world, and he maybe wants to become a manager. He's kind of mysterious. He's like a mysterious club owner. And when I say a club, I mean like a very nice club, like a club that this kind of pop star would go to. And he's this mysterious guy, and her friend slash assistant doesn't like him. She gets a weird vibe from him. I got a weird vibe from him, but there is something intriguing about him. I like the scene when she invites him over to the house after they hook up at the club, and I like that scene when he shows up. I like what he's wearing. He's got almost like a long kind of black, kind of like cotton, some kind of cotton material cape hanging down. And it's black, and he just looks cool. And he kind of like psychs himself up in the mirror. They had this kind of like post show. They do like the post show breakdown where they do the interviews and stuff. This is something they do on Max. I don't know if it's called HBO anymore. I like Max better. So this is something they do on Max. And, you know, Sam Levinson's there as a talking head and telling you about the show. Anyway, so somebody on the show, one of the producers or something, said that, like, he gets there and he really wants to impress her. He's, like, nervous or something, and he's, like, psyching himself up in the mirror. I didn't really see it that way. Maybe there was a little bit of that, but I think he... I don't know. I think he likes her, and he kind of, like, I don't know, doesn't look up to her, but he, like, respects her, and he wants to be, like, impressive for her, and he wants it to come across right, and he wants to call her Angel. So I think he's kind of, like, setting the vibe, setting the tone, just getting ready to get in there, and he knows that she has power and importance, and he likes this girl. I don't think he's like, oh, I have to impress her, like it's a high school date or something, and he's nervous. I think he's more like this kind of like, almost like a supernatural like creature, and he's arriving there, and he's saying, okay, this is what I'm doing. He's setting it. He's setting the table, so to speak. So you could say he's quote unquote getting ready, but it's not even that. It's like, he's centering himself. He's putting himself where he needs to be. For that moment when he and Jocelyn, that's the character's name, Jocelyn, when they interact again. He also snorts some blow to get ready. And my favorite character on the show is the friend. It's Jocelyn's best friend slash assistant or personal assistant slash best friend, played by Rachel Sennett. I think she's hot on the show. She's not, like, playing hot. She's playing, like, the cute best friend to the hot famous pop star, but to me she's hot. Like, she's kind of hotter than Jocelyn, actually. I don't know, but if you look, like, Jocelyn's like very skinny model body, and you could say that the Rachel Sennett body is dumpier. I would say it's curvier, you know, just kind of depends what you're into. I tend to go for like kind of like the nerdier girls. I like cool girls too. I don't know, whatever. I've just been thinking about work, and like, it's just tough because it's the summer, it's like the college girls are back, it's like every girl there is fuckable, pretty much, and I'm horny, and anyway, I don't know why the fuck I'm talking about this on the podcast, I'm getting distracted. Rachel Sennett's great. Susanna's son, Strawberry from Red Rocket, did not appear yet, unfortunately. There is a shot of a cum shot on Jocelyn's face, which sets off this Twitter, what would they call it these days? Trash fire? Dumpster fire? What do they call it? This kind of Twitter fiasco, number one, trending on Twitter because she's got cum on her face, and they show it in the show. At first it's like, oh, they're not going to show it, they're not going to, and then they show the cum. And I did think the whole show was over-sexualized. Every time The Weeknd and Lily Rose Depp get together, it tends to be like more sexual, which I understand is part of the nature of the show and the nature of that relationship, is they have this kind of like intense, like fiery chemistry, and every time they get together they want to touch each other and they want to fuck. I don't know, I just thought the whole thing was like a little over sexualized, but that's kind of the point, is that and Jocelyn is this big pop star who's being over-sexualized by the media and so on and so forth. Although, the whole first scene is about how they're doing this photo shoot at Jocelyn's house, and she wants to show her tits, and there's an intimacy coordinator there saying, no, that's not in the contract, you can't, no nip, I forget how they say it, you can't show the nipples. And she pulls her tits out. Like, the photographer doesn't even tell her to do that. Like, she wants to show her tits. So the whole first part of the show is kind of about this intimacy coordinator and like how can we get rid of him, which I thought was kind of great and hilarious. And then it kind of goes into the next part of the episode, which is the cum shot, the infamous cum shot. And so they decide to call it revenge porn. Some guy. Oh no, she took. It's a self. They determined that it's a selfie. But I don't know, this guy was decided to post it online, I guess. Or maybe they never figured out how it leaked online. I'm not really sure. But, or maybe she took it of herself and then sent it to him. And then he posted it online. Is that the theory? I'm not really sure. But it turns into this whole fiasco. And that's when, okay, I take it back. That's when my favorite character shows up. The Rachel Sennett assistant character is my second favorite character. My favorite character is Eli Roth, playing super producer extraordinaire Randy Finkelstein or something like some name like that that is equally Jewish, but funny. And he's amazing on the show. He's great. You totally buy him as this like powerful kind of asshole producer. But the whole show kind of exists in this weird sort of like semi-comedic absurdist space. It's basically a satire of like, it's kind of a satire of like popular culture now and like social media, internet culture, pop stardom, the whole LA thing. It's kind of about all that, and it's kind of satirizing and skewering this kind of fake, this fake culture that people get hooked on, and they get hooked on it like a drug, much like they get hooked on social media. And she's got a new single coming out, and she's like unsure about it. She's like self-conscious about it. She doesn't like the lyrics. And then we hear it at the end, and I kind of like the song actually, and I kind of like the lyrics. But she plays it. Oh yeah, and there's this meta moment where she's talking to The Weeknd, Abel Tesfaye, on the stairs. I don't know if he ever says what his name is in the first episode, but they're talking on the stairs after they kind of like hook up, and then they almost get caught by the Rachel Sennett character, so they stop, and that's kind of a boner killer, as The Weeknd says. And then they're talking, and I love that conversation between them in the stairwell. That was actually my favorite scene, at least of its kind in the episode. My favorite scene besides every scene with Eli Roth in the episode, was that scene where they're just kind of talking on the staircase. Again, beautifully photographed, dark backgrounds, and they're kind of bright, in front of that background. And it creates this nice kind of interesting contrast. So anyway, they're talking, and she says something, and there's this great meta moment where she says something about being a pop star or singing or something, and she's saying it to The Weeknd. So it's this weird kind of meta moment where if you didn't know who he was, you wouldn't even register. But to me, I'm watching and I'm like, this is so obviously a meta moment, but I liked it. I liked that it was in there. So there was that. And then, okay, I got sidetracked because I just remembered that moment. Now I can't remember what I was going to say before. So anyway, I'll probably sign off for now. So at the end of the episode, she plays a song for The Weeknd, and he decides to cover her face with this kind of veil and cut a hole for her mouth and tells her to sing it again. So in the next episode, we're going to see how it sounds. Her team doesn't like it, apparently, because, you know, they show clips from episode 2 at the end of it, at the end of episode 1. So, I do have to point out this one part of the show when she's kind of descending the staircase after he arrives. Oh, yeah, no, they do say his name. He's got this weird name. It's like, I can't think of it. I'm gonna have to look it up. So he arrives, and then she kind of descends the staircase, and she's got this red, it's actually the red, like, veil that he puts over her head at the end. She's wearing this very kind of sexy, slinky outfit, But it's my favorite combination of colors, which is red, white, and black, which happen to be the Nazi colors, but so be it. She descends the staircase. She's got the red veil. I think it's like the white walls and the black railing of the staircase or something. But it's like those are the colors in the shot, and her hand enters frame, so you have her skin tone as part of the colors as well. But it the parts that aren't human make up the red, white, and black, and that really stands out. And I'm thinking of one shot in particular with her hand on the railing as she descends the staircase. If you've seen the episode, you may know what I'm talking about. Maybe I'm not describing it very well. Also, before I end the episode, I want to talk about Woody Allen's Celebrity. By the way, when I said the service is for shit at the beginning of the episode, I meant the internet service, the Wi-Fi, not the car service. Anyway, so a couple of things. First of all, I must be some kind of dumbass because I posted two episodes in a row with the same title, Rolling Thunder, and I must be out of it because I didn't even notice it. Now, the second episode has garnered so many listens, and when I say so many listens, I mean so many listens for me, but what I should be saying is thank you for the listens. It's garnered so many listens that I decided to not even change it, so now I have two episodes in a row called Rolling Thunder. Okay, so, Woody Allen Celebrity. I started watching it last night on Paramount Plus with Showtime. I did sign up for the month, people. There's a lot of crap on there, but if you scroll past the crap, you find gems. And Celebrity is a kind of gem. Although I wasn't really digging on it. I guess it's kind of like a freakier Woody Allen movie. But it's still kind of like a standard Woody Allen movie. It's got your Woody Allen tropes, and Kenneth Branagh is doing sort of like his impression of Woody Allen. He's the kind of Woody Allen avatar in the movie, which was just kind of weird for me. And knowing what I now know about Woody Allen, whether or not the charges are bullshit, you can tell watching this movie that the guy's a pervert. I mean, the whole thing is about sex and his character trying to get laid, and he's this kind of like horny bastard. He's this pervert all the time, and I mean, he's horny all the time, and he's this like kind of pervert. He's like creeping on Winona Ryder. He's creeping on Melanie Griffith, and of course, like Melanie Griffith ends up sucking his dick. Like, these women like can't resist him, or they want him. So it's this weird Woody Allen world, which can be fun and funny, and this movie can be fun and funny. J.K. Simmons even pops up at one point for like this brief. It's not a cameo. I mean, back then he was like just like a character actor, but he's funny in the movie, selling this Christ figurine that like really bleeds. So I mean, not really, but like the fake blood comes out of its hands. So that, yeah, and it was like, that was like part of the second part. The whole first part was like him, the Kenneth Branagh character, and I can't really remember. It's weird, I'm like having trouble remembering what else happened in that second part. I guess it wasn't very memorable, and also I was pretty stoned. Thank you for listening to Video Nasties. Now, Celebrity is sort of about this film shoot that I guess Melanie Griffith is an actress on, Winona Ryder is maybe also an actress on, or she's working on it. Kenneth Branagh is there for some reason. I don't know if he's working on it. I don't know if he's the fucking director or what. I don't think so. I think he's just like there creeping on the actresses. I don't know. It's like, it's kind of unclear, but it definitely, there is this meta element of like, it starts out like on a film set. So it's a film that starts out on a film set. And I just watched The Idol, which is also meta. It starts out at a photo shoot, and then they're rehearsing this dance for this video, for this new song, and I guess, yeah, it was the same song, wasn't it? That was kind of a cool sequence. But I kind of, like, had enough meta at that point, but I don't know. I was kind of just feeling Celebrity, so I watched it for a while. I watched a good chunk, maybe, like, the first 20 minutes to a half hour. I've been thinking about the early internet, and when I say that, I realize that the internet has existed since the 60s, but what I mean is, after the internet became ubiquitous, there was a period of time, and I'm basically talking about the 2000s, when some people, I'm not going to say people in general, but some people thought that the internet was potentially dangerous. Some people still think that. I kind of think that that's true to a certain extent. The internet can also be helpful. But I believe that social media is toxic. So, anyway, I was thinking about Demon Lover and how that was kind of, that's sort of like an early 2000s movie about the dangers of the internet, which makes it, I guess, a little dated in some ways. There's like that creepy last scene with the kid, and he sees Connie Nielsen on the torture site, and then it just kind of ends, and it's like in his bedroom, and he's got his computer right on his desk. And I to me, it's like, I mean, yeah, you can read it any number of ways, but to me, it's sort of saying, like, yeah, the internet is dangerous. And then something I think about from time to time is something that Ezra Koenig said in an interview with Brady Sinelis. This was years ago. This is from, like, 2014. They're, like, talking about Modern Vampires of the City. And essentially, Ezra says, I don't remember, it's been years since I heard the actual interview, but, or conversation, but he kind of posits that Vampire Weekend and Passion Pit are either two of the original internet bands, or are kind of the two original internet bands, which is how I see them. And he said when the first Vampire Weekend album came out, 2008, some of the talk was still, what is the internet doing to our bands? So it's sort of funny and interesting to look back and see how the internet was sort of feared and seen as this negative thing, or this potentially negative thing, which it still is or could be. I think it is in some ways. As I said, I think social media is toxic. That's kind of the main argument I have against the internet, along with other things. I mean, I definitely saw fucked up shit on the internet when I was younger that I shouldn't have seen. And I don't really use the internet anymore. I mean, that sounds ironic saying it on a podcast, and yes, I am a podcaster, and yes, I do use the internet more or less on a daily basis, but not to any great extent. I mean, there are people who live online now, and I am not one of those people. There is a line from the first episode of The Idol that I just remembered and I wanted to close out the episode with. So it's actually a back and forth dialogue between Jocelyn and her best friend slash hot assistant, and played by Rachel Sennett. And Sennett's character says that she doesn't like this guy. Oh, his name is, I found it. It's like Tedros or something. And she says that he's rapey. Like, she doesn't like his vibe. That's what she says. And then she says, he's rapey, or he seems a little rapey or something like that. And then, Jocelyn comes back with, I like that about him. I think that's what she says. And I think that kind of sums up the episode. So that line is from episode 1 of The Idol, starring Abel Tesfaye, starring Lily Rose Depp and Abel The Weeknd Tesfaye. Thank you for listening. This is Video Nasties. My name is Maxwell Haddad. Talk to you again soon. Peace.
This has been a production of Reptilian.